again, based upon the comments of the superintendent, I would move that we approve the agenda as presented.
Support?
Support.
Jamie, could we have roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. Let's see, so we are going to go to next step, board discussion, new board dictionary items. We're going to go to old business first, correct?
Yes. We're going to go to old business because Tom Bell will be with us shortly, and he wants to be, and want to make sure he's a part of the resolution for the sale of Trojan Build 4. So if we, if it's okay, we'll skip down to old business, which is the Monroe School PA. An email was put out from Tom Heck in regards to the motion and the tabling, followed by a communication regarding from our attorney also in that manner. Both of which talked about the idea of having, you can have a second motion as different, and that one was, and that both of them also referred to that Robert's Rules as a guidance for us. And so with that information, I did ask Mr. Heck if he was okay with us putting it back on the agenda tonight, and followed by Mr. Zimmerman. And that's why we see it on the agenda as old business item. And so it is administration's recommendation to move forward with purchase of the Viacom public address system for the middle school, and that is the middle school only, for Red Letter Production at a cost not to exceed $375,380. This purchase will be funded from the 2020 Bond Capital Project Fund.
Is there a motion?
Are we going to do a parliamentary inquiry on this prior to or after the motion, Chair?
First, we have to get a motion on the table before we can discuss it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I make the motion to fund the PA system for the Monroe Middle School from the bond fund at a cost of $375,280.
Is there support?
I will second that.
Okay. Discussion.
So thank you for the email today. I did respond. I don't know if you had an opportunity to address any of my concerns. So the first thing, and I'm going to tell you, there are people probably know the rules better than me. I'm not ever suggesting that I am the expert, but I do try to do due diligence and do what you all voted me as a position to do. In that regard, the original motion that failed had to be, based on my understanding, brought up in a different manner, not just put on the agenda. I think before we move forward, we have to go back and address the original motion, because there's a process for bringing up a failed motion. So that's where I'd like to start.
So to answer your question, I did reach out to Jeremy this afternoon. Generally, he calls me back, because we do play generally phone tag, and he did not reach back out to me. So that tells me he got buried in something, and it wouldn't shock me. I'm getting a call sometime this evening from him.
So to bring a motion, and please, Chair, correct me if I'm wrong, there are several steps and several different ways to do that. One was mentioned to me about a renewal, and another one was a reconsideration. Both of those have very limited ways that they can be addressed. So where I am as a parliamentarian, based on the email, what rules do we follow and which one don't we follow? Because I last meeting made a parliamentary inquiry based on a process of a motion, and that's what I'm here to do. I don't believe that that's been clarified for me to move forward, as I suggested in my email. There are things that need to be addressed, so that this is going to come up again. And how do we move forward? What rules? And that would be helpful to me and helpful going forward on how do we, from a rules standpoint, address the original motion.
In my standpoint, after talking with Jeremy and listening to Jeremy and reading what he sent me back, as the board president, we're going to move forward with this.
So the president has the ability to take a failed motion, put it back on the table, and address it in his entirety as president.
I do.
So you're referring back to the very first motion, mm-hmm. our first one right there. So when that failed that night, it had to do with a with lack of.
It doesn't mean doesn't matter why it failed. It failed.
So
it failed. That's in the vote. It shows it's failed. Yep. So everybody may have a different reason. I'm not in anybody's head, so I can't discern why people voted what they did. But it was a failed vote.
Yep. Darla, I didn't see your email today, but I did see the email that included.
I'm gonna grab your mic, please, Carrie.
Thank sorry, you. I saw the email on Saturday that included five extensive paragraphs from Jeremy about how that still can happen with a new motion. Mm-hmm. So. I'm not sure if that helps to clarify.
So in that email, refresh my memory, it addressed a failed motion, and the process for getting a failed motion on the agenda is just put it back on the agenda.
No, that's not what
right,
it said.
Right, but that's what happened.
No.
Yeah, it was failed, and it got put back on the agenda. That's how the motion got back on. It went directly to the agenda on the motion we're discussing.
The motion that we're discussing
is
didn't
motion.
Happen because the parliamentarian said that we should wait on it and get clarification.
You're talking about the tabled motion. That's the no. second.
They're
the
That's not what I'm talking about.
So,
the new motion, which Mr. Heck provided us, according to Jeremy, there's no reason why we cannot move forward with the new motion. The tabled motion has already died.
Okay, so the original motion got voted on. The motion went down. The motion that went down included what Tom is bringing up tonight. That is 100% fact.
And according to the motion went five paragraphs, this is a brand new motion, and there's no reason
based on the table, yes, based on the tabled motion. But how did the motion get back on the agenda? These, and I understand I need to understand because I have to apply these rules. And so in application of the rules, we have to have a clear understanding of how does a failed motion get back on. If we're not following Robert's rules on how a failed motion gets back on an agenda before it then gets tabled and pulled back off, that's the core of where we're at.
No,
so
this you got what you wanted. The original motion, no, listen to me. The original motion is dead. It's gone. You're absolutely 100% right. I reached out to an attorney. I spent an hour with him on the phone. I said, is this what we do? He said, you can bring this back up. You have a board member that's brought it back in an entirely different light. You can put that motion back on there if that's what you want to do as the board president. That's what I want to do. We're moving forward on this, and we are voting.
You're
absolutely right. Your motion, you're right. You did your job. That one is dead.
So
this is a new motion.
The motion that we're discussing tonight was the one that was put and was tabled. That's the part.
No, it's not.
So where did the original motion go to on, what was it, May 9th, that got voted down?
The original motion that you said was tabled has been tabled. It's
no.
gone.
The previous, the motion that was originally put forward, this is all still part of the original motion that failed.
No, it's not. So.
So you're saying
yes,
no portion.
I'm saying we're moving forward on this motion. That's my decision. I can do that as the board president. And that's what we're doing. If you don't want to vote for this, you have a voice. You can say, no, I'm not voting for this. You did your job, and you did it very well, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That motion has been tabled. It didn't come back in a timely manner, and it's gone. This, Tom spent a bunch of work. He went through, he got a lot of clarification. This is a new motion.
So, in the future, when a motion fails, how does it get readdressed in the future? Do we just put it back on the agenda and re-vote for it again, as we did on this one from the May 9th to the May 23rd meeting?
We didn't vote on this motion. This is a brand new motion.
It's a portion of a total motion.
Can I jump in?
Jump in, because Tom, please.
Well, obviously, we're not going to clarify
Darla's
the rules.
What Darla's talking about is not my motion. Yeah. The very original motion, which was brought up on April 18th,
yes,
that we voted down, and then it was brought back and put back on the agenda on May 9th. Where we made the mistake is rather than putting the motion back on the agenda, we should have put on reconsideration of the motion.
Or a renewal or something.
Or a renewal. And that we would have voted on that, and if that was positive, then we would have voted on the motion.
That's exactly what I'm addressing.
So we missed a step is what
right.
we did.
Okay.
Okay. So in the future, if we want to bring a motion back, we first have to vote on reconsidering it.
Right. But your motion is not that motion.
No, my motion is a totally different motion.
But yes, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah.
That's what I said. You did your job. I understand where you're coming from up till there. This is a new motion.
I'm going to make one request that the rules be clarified going forward so that if a parliamentary inquiry is made in the future, mm-hmm. we're able to address it in a rules manner.
Okay. I still feel it was. Any more discussion?
One more question. Jump in. Darla, is this something that, in your opinion, we should vote on tonight or not vote on tonight?
Not vote on tonight.
Okay, then.
It's being voted on tonight.
I understand that, but just explain where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Is that, as you probably know, I made the original motion to approve the PA system, taking it out of the bond. That's almost exactly what's happening today. However, we have a parliamentarian here. We voted on her as a parliamentarian for the purpose of deciding these issues. Do I like it, dislike it, whatever not? It doesn't matter what I like, what I dislike, whether I agree or disagree. When the parliamentarian says something, I listen to it. It's just like when I go into court. Sometimes I agree with the judge, sometimes I don't disagree with the judge. But the bottom line, the judge is the judge, and they wear the black robe and say, come up with a decision. I have to live with that decision. In this particular case, it seems like a procedure thing, and I guess there's a decision made, so I probably will vote no because of the procedure, not because of the substance.
You can do that.
Yep.
Can I make a request? Yep. Darla, this is a question for you. If we make a motion to rescind the original motion of the 18th, does that not take care of it?
As I am not well-versed in every single portion of Robert's rules, I have to go home and do my due diligence, and I've got to research each one of those steps. I remember when I mentioned the reconsideration, I even said when I was talking to someone, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, it is a big process that needs to be followed very clearly and very structurally. At this point in time, nobody's addressed for me to research that, understand that, and apply that. So my same statement goes for this, is I do not have all of the backing right now to be able to make something that I believe these are very important part of how this board is going to operate for the next 4 years.
Did that answer your question, Scott?
No.
Maybe ask me in a different way.
Well, the question is, doesn't it take care of the issue? My understanding is a motion to rescind would undo what had been done. If we put it on the agenda, which it is not, it is a majority vote. If it is not put on the agenda, then it requires a two-thirds vote to simply rescind the original motion, which would get rid of it.
And that has a time element associated with it, I believe.
I don't think it does.
See, I can't tell you what I don't know. I'm sorry, I just can't. I've been parliamentarian for a few months.
You don't even need to have voted for it.
What's the copyright date on your book?
It's 2004.
Right.
But I've also looked it up online.
That's why I reached out to an attorney to help me make this decision.
Go forth.
I'll need the roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
No.
Mr. Van Wanschenova.
No.
Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, so the motion carries. That takes us to, back to you, Mr. Shaw, for the sale of the Trojan building.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome.
I hope that as I see you here, that wasn't a result of something done on the home.
No. So.
Okay. Woo. Okay.
Thanks, Tom, for showing up.
Thanks.
In the condition that you're in. Much appreciated. It shows your commitment to this build.
So to our Board of Education, last Friday, Tom Bell, Leah Morelli, Mimi, myself, and Cassie met and went over the three quotes that we had, and so went through that the whole process. So I'm going to take the lead, and please, any of you, hop in right here. So in your packet, you'll see that we had option one, and option one, letter A, and I'm kind of looking at this paper right here if you're trying to figure out which one to really look at, okay? So it's this one right there. So option A was a base price of $343,750. Cash offer, and that they would go up to 360 if other bidders did went higher, and so we did have other bidders on that went there. So this would have been a sale for them at 360,000 cash offer. They could not close until on or about July 28th, pending the sale of their other home, and that was going to be. So that was what that option A looked like. Option B was a $375,000 offer, traditional offer. On that one, the appraisal gap was zero. So we weren't offering any money and or any percentage of security towards the appraisal. And so that means that for all of you that don't understand, is that if the appraisal came in at 340, that's what we're gonna get, okay? Option C was a $335,000 offer with a $5,000 appraisal gap. And then option D, which was a conventional, then option D was a $350,000 offer, FHA with a July 14th closing date. And they had a 100% guarantee with the appraisal. So as we were working through this, remember, the house was initially appraised at $330,000, and so anything above that number is a bonus to our program. When we went through there, option one was as a cash offer. That one created a concern for us simply due to the fact that it wouldn't be able to close until the end of July. And
the end of your first?
The end of July.
Oh, ours is August 1. Oh, yeah.
July, which makes it August 1.
Their home sale is anticipated to close July 28th, so then they would be able to close with us as of August 1st, which is likely, without looking at a calendar in front of me, probably the next business day.
Yeah, probably.
So that one would have required just that one length of time and still having then waiting to make sure that their house did sell, everything goes through. Option B was a nice offer also, but that one was extremely concerning because there's no safety net as far as what the appraisal would come in at. And we could all sit and speculate on what that appraisal would be, but there's no guarantee on that number. That one, too, would have required us to have countered back and with the idea of a safety as far as at least $330,000, what we saw on there, which would not have us meeting tonight to bring this to a close. Option C was $335,000 with a $5,000 appraisal. But that, when we started really looking at between option C and D, option D is for more money with a 100%. So that's why option D was recommended recommended to the board. Mimi, is there anything I've missed?
I think you've covered pretty much all of it.
Okay. So with that, we are recommending option D. That is a plus $20,000 compared to what we are already seeing as a major gain on this build. The other one, if you look at the dates, this one closes by July 14th, where option C was a July 28th. So the requirement on the FHA is there is some paperwork that we will be doing out of our office on that.
That's my question.
And so we will be meeting the requirements of FHA, and that was one of the areas that we had addressed on Friday quite a bit, make sure that we could get that done, and that won't be an issue there. So meeting the requirements of FHA. So with that, it is our recommendation. And we did put a resolution in your pack, and I know that the prior two board members, because the rest haven't been in here, haven't had a resolution for the sale. And the reason why there's a resolution in there is we want to really draw it to your attention that you're not only selling that property, but you're also giving me the authorization to sign the documents at closing. And I believe that's an important part, even though it's pretty much stipulated in board policy, it's still better just to call it right out.
Who did it previously?
Did what?
If the superintendent didn't sign
them.
They
did sign.
Oh, they did. Julie signed.
What's that?
Julie signed. Okay.
Yeah. We just didn't ever have a resolution authorizing that.
Okay.
Because we do also have the board policy that authorizes the superintendent as a signer for the district.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
But I've been in situations before where with the sale of a property, it is, you need that resolution to make that happen. And you don't want to create a situation where we didn't have it and that would hold up the sale. So that's why that you see this resolution in here. So it is our recommendation to move forward with the resolution approving the sale of the real property and authorizing the execution of the related documents for Trojan Build 4 to our buyer of option D.
Is there a motion?
I will move to accept the resolution approving the sale of property in accordance to Superintendent Shaw with Trojan, the build of Trojan 4.
Support?
Support.
Discussion?
Just a couple questions. Andy, I think you indicated that the FHA has certain requirements.
Like yes.
What sorts of things are they requiring?
And that's where I'm going to turn it over to Mimi.
So basically, with it being a new construction and new build, all of them have to go through an FHA protocol that looks for permits that have been pulled, making sure that everything's up to code.
Has the FHA already did their inspection?
So Friday, they have not done their inspection yet. The FHA has not. That would take place when the appraisal came. The appraiser actually for FHA does the inspection as well. And what they're looking for is things that shouldn't be an issue. Handrails, chipping paint, lead-based paint, that kind of stuff. GFI plugs where they belong. So that shouldn't be an issue. I did try to contact the lender on this Friday once we got them talking to see if we could get the paperwork started or have you guys look to see what was on there. But it requires a case number with the accepted offer, and since we didn't have that, we were on a roadblock and not able to go that far.
Like, and what kind of exposure are we, like, potentially exposing ourselves to with the, I think they make you repair and replace or whatever that they do, right, FHA?
FHA, yes.
Any idea how much we could be subjecting ourselves?
I can't. John Taft is also, when he went and looked at it, he looked for any FHAs. And it's a lot of the times it's with the older homes that have the cracked concrete.
Sure.
There's nothing that's going to be flagged for FHA. The basement has the
So we can be assured that there's no FHA cost in there.
No.
I guess the next thing is that, do we have a title commitment on this yet?
We do not. The only thing that I have from the title company right now is I have the requirements of what is needed to close, but we do not have a commitment at this time. And to go back real quick with the FHA, let's just say that we get to that and they require, I have no idea what, but let's just say it's an expensive cost. Obviously, before we would move forward with it, we would meet again and talk about it. And at that point, if it was a huge expense to us, we could ask the buyers to pay for that as well.
Have any of the previous Trojan builds been sold through FHA?
They have all been conventional or cash.
So we don't have any experience with the previous.
Correct.
Okay. I have a cash and one conventional.
Yeah.
I got a quick question. Having not been through my own home sales, yes, but not through this, why are we putting this up now and not waiting till all of those variables are resolved?
What do you mean variables?
We need a purchase agreement on this before they can move forward with appraisal.
The board needs to approve our Mr. Shaw to accept any offer. So we have to bring that to the board now, and then we can have the accepted offer sent to the other agent, and then all those other expenditures occur, not on our side for the appraisal, and that's on the buyer's side.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit different.
Will we have any difficulty tonight with the resolution since it has Mary's signature line a couple places and she's not here?
She can sign it tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And the other question I had was if it appraises for much more, or I'm sorry, much less than, I don't know, maybe I'm saying that wrong. If the appraisal doesn't come in where we think it's going to come in, are we going to have a problem with the loan as it's pre-approved?
That in writing?
Yes, it's in writing.
Some
contract.
Yep. Okay.
Also, all three other bids, when John Tapp goes through, the appliances aren't in and all that other stuff. His bids are, or his appraisals are conservative. He's always said from Trojan Build on, Trojan Build 1 on, that he would never want to tell the district, I think it's worth X, and it falls well short of that. So, all of the homes have appraised for over what John's initial appraisal is.
Great.
So who knows? This one could come in right on the money. You never know with the market, but all of the homes have appraised for over.
And last year, I don't know if we accepted an offer at 325 and John appraised it for 300 and they had a $25,000 appraisal gap guarantee. And it actually did not appraise for 325. It appraised for 315, so that buyer didn't have to come to the table with the $10,000 to get us to the 325. So it was off, but not that far off.
So, Nina, if I understand, then if there's a change in FHA requirements other than zero, that's going to come back before the board. Is that what you
correct.
Say?
Okay, yep. Gotcha. Anytime there's a change and it's not exactly as it's written, it's always renegotiated and brought back
to the board.
Yes.
Okay. Next question is that I know you mentioned here the closing costs, you know, the traditional ones. What about the remainder of the closing costs? Who's going to pay those?
What remaining closing costs?
Oh, like, for example, I mean, lawyer's title, whoever you go to is going to charge you a setting cost, right?
Yeah.
$300. Mm-hmm. Are they going to have a transmittal fee for the deed and all that kind of stuff?
I believe that lawyer's title will have to get with them, but I believe that they pretty much cut all of their fees in the past, have they not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that they did.
Recent, this year?
In the previous bill sales.
Oh, they're going to cut.
We haven't had to pay a significant amount of closing costs.
Well, I mean, significant is always relative, obviously.
Right, I'm.
But.
So they gave us a discounted rate?
Lawyer's title changed their fees, did they?
Well, they didn't change their fees, but they have changed ownership. So it just recently sold to Ann Hammond and Kendon Myers. So it did have a change of hands. So I would need to clarify with them. I believe the title commitment, I think I said something. I think as of right now, if you were to pay the closing cost, it's an additional $1,700. And then the transfer of the deed is usually like a $35 to $50. They do hold $200 for the final water bill, but other than that, there should be no other fees that lawyer's title's taken out of.
Oh, there's a setting fee, right? I mean, for them to close, $200 to $300, right?
For the buyers pay that.
Oh, they're going to pay that?
The buyers pay that. The sellers don't pay that.
Okay, I don't see that in here. That's why I ask.
I think. Okay, so I'm having a hard time hearing.
I'm sorry. I didn't see that in here. I saw the closing costs in paragraph 7, but I didn't see. I'm sorry.
Looking at the contract.
3. Yeah. 7. Right. Correct.
Okay, so the buyer will pay their closing costs that.
Correct.
You said you're at number 7?
Yeah, I mean, I know they paid recording of the deed, the security interest, the mortgage closing costs, et cetera, but I mean, those things that's not mentioned are what I'm concerned with.
Right. Besides the recording of the deed and the title insurance itself, there are no closing costs to the actual sellers. All the other closing costs are acquired when you purchase the home.
Usually when we have a closing, though, they, like I say, just that, I don't know what they call the setting fee, just the fact that they close it. I mean, the title company usually charges you $200 to $300. I'm not sure what that's for, but they always charge you that.
Right.
But I don't see that in here is what I'm saying, Nina. You see what I'm saying?
You don't see it in the contract?
No, I don't see it in the contract.
Yeah, so with that part, it's not going to be in the contract. This is just for the sale of it. Anything else that the title company, I can get a hold of them and ask them what.
Yeah, that'd be great.
If they are going to charge.
Yeah.
Like I said, in the past years, they haven't charged us for the title commitment. They've done it for us. So hopefully they'll do that for the
they charged for the commitment or the title insurance?
The title insurance, I'm sorry.
Oh, they haven't charged it? Oh.
No, they haven't.
So they do that as a favor?
Yes.
Really? Oh, wow, that's pretty nice.
They have done that for the last three, but like I said, it did change hands this year, so.
Yeah.
It's something that I'll have to discuss with them.
You know, if you could find that out and let us know, that'd be great. And if you need our email, I'm sure Andy would furnish that to you.
I can make a phone call as soon as I leave here and get exactly what you'll be charged.
Right.
When this is all done, we'll bring forth who donated their time and resources to this sale. Some of it we may not and should not, because that's part of also their business too. But this has been a, as we always remember, a great project for our kids. Thank you to Tom for all that he's done here. And again, in this sale right here, we're gonna make more than, this will be about $100,000 profit for the school. So it's already doing well. So I think, you know, it's, but we will want to honor those that have donated time and resources to this project, especially in this final stage.
Yep.
So we'll have that list from Mimi.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, one more question. I note that the special assessments, Nina, I mean, the thing I'm concerned about is drains. Are there any drains in that area that has been?
That would have been, that came back on the title work and all of that, and the title work didn't say anything about that. That would be in the taxes, which I know that you guys don't pay, but that's usually where all that is.
Usually they have a special, it says excluding special assessments. And then when you get to closing, you find out the special assessments are, and the most common one I come across is the drains. So, and I think there's a drain in that area is what I'm worried about. And I don't know if that's...
Plum Creek, you think you're considering Plum Creek there?
They just cleaned that 2 years ago, and I think that drains into that, doesn't it, Tom? I mean, I may be wrong.
The distance of that house to Plum Creek...
That's a ways.
It's possible that it is the storm sewer drains that way, but... I used to live right around the corner from there.
The Drain Commission has recently been putting up drains in the newspaper, if you've been following it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're looking at the zoning on the drains. We actually went down and spoke to the Drain Commissioner, and they do plan on addressing all drains within the county. So I don't know if they've addressed this one or not yet.
You're right.
I can tell you.
I think it was like 2 years ago.
That's probably.
Yeah, because we got assessed.
I can.
Farm property was like half a mile from the drain.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I can tell you when we parceled that piece of property out into residential areas, we do get charged a. There is a special assessment for the lighting in the area, and that's the only piece. We're not exempt from that as it was rezoned from the school to the residential parcel. So that's the only special assessment that I'm aware of, and it's like each parcel is, I want to say, approximately $30 a year annually.
Yeah, that's nice.
And
I'm more concerned about the drain by Tom's.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
but that would be the person that buys the house, not us.
No, no. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's got, it's going to be prorated, and basically,
well,
it looks
going
to be lean on the property.
So in here it says that they're agreeing on number 7. Again, if we go back to that, it says no proration, which means whatever is due is paid now, and whatever when they purchase. And it says that for any special assessments that they're going to be using that same method. So anything that was would be due now, we would pay, and then anything after that, they would be in charge of.
Oh, see, what I read in paragraph 8 is a special assessment. All special assessments for municipal improvements, which may have become a lien upon the property, shall be paid by the seller, providing, however, that in the event the special assessment is payable in installments, which would be like the drain. Current and future assessments shall be paid, and it says allocated. I just wanted to know.
Yep.
Like, I know Plum Creek, when that went through, I mean, that was a huge expense, that one.
And
in there.
It also says allocated between the seller and by using the same method for proration in paragraph 7 above, which is no proration.
But if that's covered, then Cassie should already be seeing that on the tax bill for that property. Because we're already paying.
Except, are we exempt from that?
We are not exempt from the special assessments when we rezoned the property into parcels. We've been having to pay for the special assessment on the unsold parcels.
How much?
Each piece of property is about, it varies slightly from year to year, but it's about $30 per parcel per year.
That's
So it's a very nominal amount, but yeah, we are not exempt from that.
So last year you didn't see any special assessments for drains, right?
No. And we did already pay the amount that was due this year for the lighting assessment, and there has not been any other tax bills received from the township.
That answer your question?
I have one question on the resolution. The number three, it says all resolutions and parts of resolutions insofar as they conflict with the provisions of this resolution be, I'm not sure what the word be in there means, and the same are hereby rescinded. Can someone clarify that statement? Like, what is being rescinded? What are we addressing? I mean, it's obviously in there for a reason. I don't understand what the word be means. Like, it seems like a grammatical error, but I may not be reading that correctly.
Jeremy question. So if I'm reading this one right, Larry, I'll defer over to Mr. Van Washen over here. All resolutions and parts of resolutions insofar as they conflict with provisions of this resolution. So any other prior resolutions, if I am understanding this one correctly.
What's the word be? Be and is it
resolution
a grammatical
be,
error or
be
is
and
it
the same are hereby.
Right. And is there any resolutions that are being rescinded as a result of signing this?
No.
None? Because there's not been, in my tenure here, there hasn't been a resolution as of this when we're selling a piece of property.
And no other kind of things that were signed would be applicable to this?
Correct.
Okay.
No other resolutions that the board had already approved would be in conflict with this particular resolution.
You bring up the question. So, for example, if we would have had another piece of property here, we'd use this resolution last year, this resolution eliminates that one because this one enforces this opportunity for the sale right here.
This is only for this property exclusively?
This house property. So in the future, you'll see another resolution, which will rescind this one and give me the authority to be able to sign.
So where does it say that at?
All resolutions and the resolutions insofar as they conflict with the provisions of this resolution, be and the same are hereby rescinded. That's how I understand that. Now, we can bring clarification, but there are no resolutions out there or anything.
Right. But where does it say that it's only applicable to this property?
In the whereas district pupils successfully completed the construction of a home located at property address, which obviously
it's not
we
filled
need to,
in.
Which we need to fill in. This is just the draft.
So we shouldn't.
The real property through the district's career and technical education programs.
Just for the record, I think I say this every single time. I would prefer when there's a vote forward that there be no blanks in any contracts, any documents, or anything, because I always want to know what I'm voting on. And if I know, then I can vote appropriately. If I don't know, then I don't know how I can vote for something.
And the motion does indicate the property address.
Yeah, but the resolution's what matters.
Right, and that won't be signed until it's complete. So what you're voting on
is the resolution.
Is the motion regarding the resolution.
I understand that.
But the motion does have the address, and we wouldn't ask you to sign anyone on the board to sign a document that wasn't
I'm not
complete.
Signing it. I'm just voting
right.
on it.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I was just offering some additional.
Making note for the record.
Scott, any questions? Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Hack.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Washington.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion carries. Brings us to public commentary. Any topic? Darla, do we have any?
If I may first, Tom, thank you for your work. It's
thank you.
Fabulous.
Congratulations.
Good job, Tom.
Beautiful home.
He'll public get commentary? Better so you can start.
No, there's not.
Okay, well, that concludes our agenda. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Support.
So, I'll second.
Show of hands. This meeting is adjourned at 5:40 on June 19th, 2023. Thanks for all you do, Tom.